longing just to bring all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll give you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Yeah. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. Yeah, I'll give you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Yeah, you search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you, yes. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Bless you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called a present. Before we talk about yesterday's history, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the gift of life and to know that you love us and want to be with us now and forever. Be with me now that I may be used by your Spirit to speak words of encouragement and warning. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it. Amen. On January the 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This was the beginning of the end of slavery in the United States of America. Immediately after the announcement, as the word got out, the celebrations began. There was dancing and shouting in the streets in every state except Texas. It's hard to believe that it took 2.5 years for news to reach Texas. So they didn't have emails, Facebook, none of the other, they didn't have Instagram, you know, NBC, ABC, and CBS nightly news on TV. Last Friday, my sister, who lives in Rockford, Illinois, heard about the Shirley Fire near Bakersfield within minutes of the fire starting. How could she do that? The modern technology now just lets you know what's happening you know, right this minute, wherever in the world. But according to some historians, many slave owners in Texas were aware of the emancipation, but they refused to tell the slaves or let them be know that it had happened. But on June 19th, 1865, the news reached Galveston, Texas. The long-awaited, prayed-for news of freedom was declared. And it could be heard in almost any gathering where there were black folks. Y'all is free. Y'all don't have to go to work in the morning. Y'all is free. And it was really true. It really is true. We are not slaves. That was, you know, as Martin Luther King said later, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. June 19th was celebrated in Texas until the late 1960s and early 1970s. The civil rights movement seems to overshadow the holiday. In the late 1970s, Juneteenth became a popular holiday again, and the tradition began to spread beyond the Texas borders. I share this with you because Thursday of this past week was June 19th, 2014. Now, this is just a sliver, a small sliver of our history. But it is our history. We can't change it. It really happened. It was a time when we had no voice, our choice. That's just the way it was. Now, what about today? Could there be some things that, could there be some things that are happening that make us feel that that we don't really realize that we are free? You know, there are people who want to keep the great information away from you, and the only way you can avoid this is by reading and studying. Study the scriptures, for in them, you know, that's where you get the good information. Because we know that there's one out there that really don't want us to know the good news about Jesus coming and dying for us thousands of years ago. And if we know it, he wants to constantly distract us and deceive us into things that are not true. I remember in Jordan's story, he was talking about distractions, you know, from what he should have been doing. Let us go into our scripture and reading for today. I thank Brother Wesley for reading it for us. Jesus said in John 14:1, the first chapter, 14th chapter, the first verse. You probably know this by memory. This is such a comforting, information. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith in me. In my Father's house, there's plenty of room for everyone. If that's not so, I would have told you. I'm going home to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, you can be sure I will come back to take you home with me. So you can be with me forever. Oh, forever is such a long time. I can't even, I mean, it's just incomprehensible right now, So now is the only time that we can do something about tomorrow. If you, and if you hear God's word today, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to not do? Harden not your heart. And if David, I'm not sure who said it first. I believe David. In Psalms 95, verse 7, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But Paul also talks about it in Hebrews. Hebrews 3, verse 7 and 8. Hebrews 3, 15. And also Hebrews 4, 7. The very same phrase. It says, today, now, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. In the Old Testament, Joshua, we touched on it this morning in Sabbath school just a little bit, but he's a man that I really admired because he was faithful when he was a young man, and then he was faithful when he was like 80. He was ready to go out and take up weapons and fight for the children, for God's people. And then when he was very old, I don't know how he was then because he was old when he, he was pretty old. I'm just not sure how old he was. But some of the last things he did when he realized that he was getting old up in years and he didn't have long to stay in Joshua 20, in the 23rd chapter, he talks about, he gives some counsel as he called all the elders and leaders and judges together, and he was telling them that he said, I'm getting on up in years. Here's some things I want you to remember. Don't develop friendships with the nations around you. There's danger in that. Don't get involved in worshiping their gods. You're not to mention the name of their gods in conversation. Hold on to God and do what he asks. Remember, the Lord has helped you to defeat some powerful people. No army has been able to stand against God's people. And then he reminds them that not one of God's promises has he failed. Everything he said would be has happened. He fought with us, and he helped us to defeat all our enemies. Everybody that came against them got slaughtered. So, you know, the devil wouldn't want you to know that or to remember that. He wants you to think that you can't make it. But in Joshua 24:15, Joshua gives his testimony. And did you find it in your Bibles? Joshua 24:15. This is a very comforting text also. And I have the clear word. It says, if you can't serve him and him alone, then make up your mind whom you will serve. Will it be the gods of beyond the Euphrates, the gods of Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites where you live? Make up your mind once and for all. But as for me and my family, we have made up our minds. We will be serving the Lord. Now, this was Joshua's testimony, strong testimony, even in his old age. The theme of the whole Bible is Jesus and how he died to save men. It's all about Jesus and his love for us and what he does for us. And that heavenly place that he is making for us. He don't need a house with many rooms. Just for one person. He's making it for us. He wants us to be with him. Remember when the children of Israel was wandering around in the desert? He had them build a sanctuary so he could be with them. And he wanted them to know he was with him. He had the pillar of cloud by night and the fire by night. Now he wanted us to know that. And don't let anybody convince you that he doesn't. Now, it's Jesus loves us. He came from the bosom of the Father to the womb of a woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became the Son of Man so that we might become the sons and daughters of God. He came from heaven where rivers never freeze, a wind never blow, a frost never chills the air. We could use a little chill in this air, but flowers never fade, no heat warnings, no water shortage in our water shortages. Sometimes we have them both. They never call a doctor, for no one is ever sick. No undertakers, no graveyards, for there no one ever dies, and no one is ever buried or cremated. He was born contrary to the laws of nature, lived in poverty, and was reared in obscurity. Only once crossed the boundary of the land in childhood. He had no wealth or influence, and he had neither training nor education. His parents was inconspicuous and uninfluential. In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the billows, and he hushed the sea to sleep. He healed multitudes without medicine and made no charges for his service. He never wrote a song, yet he furnished a theme of more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the country cannot hold the many books that could be written about him. He never found a college, yet all the schools put together cannot boast of the many students as he has. He never practiced medicine, yet he healed more broken hearts than doctors have healed broken bodies. He never marshaled an army, drafted a soldier, or fired a gun. Yet, no leader ever made more volunteers, and under whose order made rebels stack their ammunition and surrender without a shot being fired. He is the star of astronomy, the rock of geology, the lion and lamb of zoology, the harmonizer of all discord, and the healer of all diseases. Great men have come and gone. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He laid aside his purple robe for a peasant's gown. He was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. How poor? Let's ask Mary, ask the wise men. He slept in another's manger. He cruised the lake in another's boat. He rode another's donkey. He was buried in another man's tomb. All others fail, but he never. He is the chief among 10,000. To summarize tomorrow's mysteries, yesterday's history is found in Hebrews 13:8. The is simply Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the future is not necessarily a mystery. It is assured in Jesus Christ. And we get to choose. Now, in closing, so I need not be long because we've already heard a sermon. And we had good singing. So I'm just going to finish with a story. I have a story about an elderly carpenter who was ready to retire. He had his employer contractor off his plant to leave the house building business and live a more leisurely life with his wife, enjoying his extended family. He would miss the paycheck, but he needed to retire, and he felt like they had enough money to get by. Sounds like something Willie and I may have discussed. The contractor was sorry to see his good worker go and ask if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter said yes, but in time it was easy to see that his heart was not really in the work, and he resorted to shoddy workmanship and used inferior materials. Now, he had all the materials that were available to them throughout the whole time they were building. He had the marble, the brass, the gold, everything, the fancy, high-end stuff to the no-end stuff. And the kind of things you'd find in a no-star hotel, he had those, and then he had the five-star hotel stuff, materials. But when he finished, it was easy to see that his heart was not in his work, and it was an unfortunate way to end his career. When the carpenter finished his work, the employer came to inspect the house. He handed the front door key to the carpenter. "This is your house," he said, "my gift to you." If the carpenter had only known that he was building his own house, he would have done it so differently. So it is with us. We build our lives a day at a time, often putting less than our best into the building, or into our bodies for that matter. Then with a shock, we realize we have to live in the house that we have built. If we could only, or we have to live in the bodies that we have developed. I've had many patients say things like, "If I had known I was going to suffer like this, I would have taken much better care of myself." After they've been diagnosed with some of the lifestyle diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, and having strokes and so forth. I had a sister-in-law just passed away with a stroke. But we build our lives a day at a time, often putting less than our best into the building. Then, with a shock, we realize that we have to live in the house that we have built. If only we could do it over, we'd do it much differently. But we cannot go back. Like, we can't change history. You are the carpenter of your character. Each day you hammer a nail, place a board, erect the wall. Life is a do-it-yourself project with help from Jesus. It is said that your attitude and the choices you make today build a house you live in tomorrow. Build your character wisely. Someone is watching you. To the world, you may be one person, but to one person, you may be the world.